Father in heaven, you have been gracious. You've watched over each one of us. That's why we're here today. We're each a living testimony to your grace. And Father, you have told us that you inhabit the praises of your people. We just heard from Psalm 150, where you say to praise, to praise, to praise. And Father, you said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everyone in this room is under obligation to praise you. Now, it doesn't have to be up front this morning, but help us to have that spirit no matter what we're dealing with. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Zelda was not her real name, but she was a real person. She's actually a patient of mine some years ago. And I noticed something interesting about Zelda, because as she was dying there in the hospital, she had that steady stream of visitors. She was a well-loved person. And people would come there trying to encourage her as she was dying with terminal metastatic cancer. What was fascinating to me is that the people would come in somber and they would leave smiling. You see, what Zelda was doing is she was ministering to people as she was dealing with her own struggles. She was thanking the Lord. And as I took care of her, as her physician, I and the others who were there alongside of her, we were encouraged because she was praising God in the midst of difficulties. Some of you have come here today. You're dealing with difficulties, and the first thing on your mind may not be praising the Lord. But as we've seen, and turn there again, just turn there again to Psalm 150, because I don't want you to think that I'm taking the scripture out of context. I will read it in another translation in case some of you didn't like the way you first heard it, and see if there's any excuse for you as we come to the conclusion of Psalm 150. That's, by the way, the last verse in all of the Psalms. It's easy to find. Psalm 150, verse 6. This is from the English Standard Version. Let everything that has breath do what? Praise the Lord. We are all under obligation to praise the Lord. And what I love about the divine physician, you know, if you go, to be honest with you, one of those people that I called was someone who tried to reach me a few weeks ago, and I felt badly that I hadn't gotten back with them. So if you're in that category, by the way, if you're here in this sanctuary, all of you are my friends. By the way, I'm very thankful to be your pastor. Thank you for extending that invitation to me. And if you're trying to get a hold of me and you don't get a call back or a text back in a prompt time, what should you do? No, not wait. That's not the correct answer. The answer is text me again or call me again. Even if you've got to call me every day, I'll get the message that you have a need, okay? Some of you say, but you must be very busy. I don't want to bother you. It's not a bother. Okay, so please be persistent. And sometimes I tell people, I don't think I've told you this, so I'll tell you, I have an amazing track record. I have never failed to respond to a text, an email, or return a phone call. How many of you are impressed? Now, there is a qualification, though. It's so long as the person is persistent. Okay, so you say, well, that's not true, Dr. DeRose. I've texted you 6 times. You've not responded yet. Well, you have not yet sent me that 7th text. You've not been persistent enough, okay? So now I tell you all that because here, we're coming back to the point. And the point is, this person had contacted me a few weeks ago because they weren't sure whether they should follow the doctor's advice or not. They were seeing a physician, and knowing that I was a physician who was also their friend, they thought they could call me and get some free medical advice. Well, I did follow through with that yesterday. But here's the thing. Although you may question your earthly doctor's wisdom, if your heavenly physician, that's your heavenly Father, you understand, gives you a divine prescription, don't get a second opinion. Okay? No, really. If he says, praise the Lord, this is not just a command, it's a prescription. God wants to bless you. And the more you need that prescription is the worse you're feeling. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some years ago, I was having a bad day. Some of you say, you got to go that far back to think when you're having a bad day. I'm just thinking of a particular bad day that I was having some years ago. And it seemed like the Lord, whether some of you would say it's a sense of humor or not, he sticks someone in my path who's having a worse day. So what do you do? Well, I try to encourage the person. And so it was a spiritual conversation. I'm trying to encourage the person. And after that person left, who do you think was encouraged? Me, because I was praising the Lord. Well, this is designed to be a testimony service. That means you get a chance to share something that God's doing for you in your life. Now, of course, we don't have time for everyone to come up. That means most of you are off the hook, okay? But we do want some of you to share. Now, I originally was thinking, my preference is to have people to come up front because it's a big enough sanctuary, and we like to see the people who are actually sharing their testimony. And as I was thinking about this morning, the first service, I mean, we had, 25, 30 people, I'm guessing. I said, well, there's no need for people to come up front, and you can see each other. And I was sitting thinking, I'm new in this church. I don't want to kind of go against the current. People are probably, if they're going to have a testimony meeting, they want the mic just passed around so they can. It's a really funny thing. People will go. This is true. I've been there before. I used to, as a young man, spend a lot of time in sporting events. And I would notice that people would have no inhibitions about saying whatever they thought at a sporting event. They would shout right out, okay? But if they're in church and we hand them a microphone, some people, it's like I'm giving them something radioactive. Really, they jump back? Really? But it gets worse now. So I was going to be easy on you. I was just going to pass the mic around. And then I'll tell you, there's so many of you that I appreciate in this church. We have a great media and audiovisual team. They said, Pastor DeRose, we're filming this. Well, now that really gets everybody scared. And in order for the camera to see, we need people to come up to the front when they share their testimonies. Okay? So that's the background. So actually, it's your turn right now. Some of you have not gotten the full blessing of praising the Lord today yet, and you want to be the first person to come up front and share. It just could be a word. You could just say, I'm thankful that I can just come up and say I'm thankful to be alive. And you could just sit down. Okay, it can be that simple. Who wants to come up and share a word of testimony? Come on up, Karen. So is the best way, is this on too up here? If Karen stands here and I stand a little ways away from her, is that the best? So if you stand right up there at the pulpit, that way if I think you're being obtuse, I can try to clarify things.
Ah, okay.
By the way, I would have said that to anyone. Okay, just so you know.
No problem.
Okay. So what's on your heart?
Basically, I'd just like to say that I'm thankful for the wonderful friends that I've made here and all the marvelous people that I've met.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I appreciate that being short and sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear, Karen reminded me she usually keeps things short and sweet. Come on up, Jan. Yeah, we want to hear from you, too.
Well, I know this whole week everyone's thinking of Thanksgiving and thankfulness, and I truly have so many things there. I could talk forever. God has led so much in my life, but I'll be a little specific and get short. Specifically, since I returned from Oklahoma 3 years ago, he has opened doors and made the way for so much. I had strength and health issues, weakness, and I hurt myself a lot in the move. And I'm the last month, I'm getting so much stronger. I have a new house I bought in April, and I've had a lot of work I'm doing. A lot of painting and cleaning and scrubbing with chemicals and things. Brought on an allergic thing that I dealt with for a couple of weeks. I was coughing a lot, and I hope I don't get a coughing jag right now in front of you. But it's settling down, and the Lord has just blessed and helped everything to fall into place in my life so much. that I don't have words to express. You know, no one could ever take away the goodness and wonderfulness of God to me. And I know He's ever present no matter what I'm suffering through, what I'm hurting through. And He's just been so evident in my life. And I just have to praise Him for that and let everyone know. And
Amen.
I praise for this church. I love this church. It's such a wonderful multicultural diversity of so many wonderful people. And I treasure it. So thankful
Amen.
For that.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for sharing. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. You know, sometimes when it's time to share, we're afraid. Have you been there before? And by the way, I'm not saying this because every one of you is supposed to come up front. But you know, there are times when every one of us, perhaps every day, need to be saying something for the Lord, and myself included. Sometimes we miss those opportunities. You don't need to be afraid to share on behalf of the Lord. Bob, come on up. So we're glad for extended family that are visiting. Bob Merrills and I go way back. We won't try to figure out how far back, Bob. Go right up to the podium there.
My Thanksgiving is special. It happened on Thanksgiving. Maybe. And I don't remember. 11, 12 years ago on Thanksgiving, right after the dinner, my wife told me I'm leaving. Now, why would I bring this up on Thanksgiving? It's because what Jesus has done for me for 12 years. There's been days so bad that I couldn't take another minute. Suicide would have been sweet. And I said, God, just move it. And He moved it. So precious. And He's taught me through this 12 years that my wife was not all the problem. I've gone to divorce care. I've gone to counseling. And I was amazed in divorce care how many people saw their spouse as the problem. And God taught me that I need to look at Bob Merrills. I could go on with that, but I think I've said enough. I want to tell you how precious family is. Most of you know Paul. And Paul and I go way back. And I remember the days where the guy couldn't stand the ground I stand on. And yet, he's the closest family member I have today. And his love has grown for me over the last years. As some of you have seen me come here, I feel that love. And not just from Paul, but from his whole family. His daughters, his son-in-laws, their children. Thanksgiving was a beautiful day yesterday.
Amen, amen, amen. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I so appreciate expressions of prayer in the midst of challenge and difficulty, because that's what life brings us often. Yes, it brings the joys, and people expect us to sing God's praises when things are going well, but there's a certain ring, and I believe a special joy in heaven when we praise God in the midst of trials and difficulties. Thank you for sharing that. Here the psalmist is struggling in Psalm 42, verse 5. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? And then he encourages himself. He says, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. And so this is what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes things are challenging, Sometimes we're having difficulties, but we can praise the Lord, whether it's up front or whether it's to the person next to us. Who else has something that they would like to share? Dustin, come on up. And then we've got a young lady. We'll get to you next. I'm not sure that I know the young lady's name back there. What is her name?
Elena.
Okay, so we'll hear from Dustin, and then we'll hear from Elena. Go ahead, Dustin.
I had an answer to prayer recently, a month or two ago. I haven't been able to give a Bible study to anyone, at least since last spring or so, and that's one thing I just really love and enjoy to do. And then last week or so, one of my cousins calls me, and he asked me, you know, he's like, I've been struggling with my relationship with God. And I've never had anyone ask me before, but he said, can you help me in my relationship? And I was, you know, just blown away, you know, and I never even thought he had interested in, you know, anything with God. And so anyway, this Thanksgiving on Thursday, we were going to do a Bible study together. And so, you know, after we got done eating, you know, I asked him, you know, if he wanted to do it now. And then I got the impression that I should invite my younger cousin, who's like in fifth grade, because he's, you know, he's really bright young guy. And I was like, you know, he goes to a Christian school. So I invited him, and we did the first It Is Written Bible study about the Nebuchadnezzar dream. And just seeing both of their faces, you know, light up, you know, that they understood it. And I was, you know, it was just so amazing. But the, you know, it doesn't just stop there. They have little kids It Is Written Bible studies too, and I had a couple of those, and I gave them to my younger cousin because he has little siblings too. And so later, like a couple hours later, I was about to leave, and I was looking for, you know, my Bible and stuff, and I couldn't find it. And then I go in the room where we did the Bible study, and my little cousin, who's in fifth grade, he is in there like open, you know, he has a book, Bible study open, and was trying to do it by himself, and so you know that like really touched my heart. And then I was like, well, do you want to do this one now? And he's like, yeah. And so I did that one with him too. So that was a really big answer to prayer for me, and I'm just thankful because I feel so unworthy to do anything for God, but God gives me the privilege to do those things, and I'm just thankful that God gives me those opportunities.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dustin. Well, in ourselves, we are all unworthy. And sometimes that's what causes us to hesitate from praising the Lord. Because we say, well, why? How can I praise God when I still have all these problems in my own life? But God works through imperfect people. And Paul reminded us of that in 2 Corinthians, that great truth, when we're weak, then we're strong. If we think we've got it all together, just forget about it, okay? Okay, really, you're missing the point. One other quick verse, and then we'll hear from Elena. Have I got her name right? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. The prophet says something, I believe, profound, and it's actually another invitation to each one of you. It says, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you realize the world is dying today, just like Dustin's extended family? They're longing for the word of God. And I've been impressed in this very church. There's a number of people like Dustin who've been impressed lately that the Lord wants them sharing that word. And if you're wanting to be more involved in Bible study and you're wondering how to go about, there's other people in the church who are looking for partners to go out and give Bible studies in the community. So feel free to let me know or one of the elders know if you want to be more involved in sharing the word. Elena, we want to hear you share the word, your personal testimony, okay? And we're glad to see that you've got a friend coming up with you. Do you know the lady coming up with you? You better take this microphone here. You take this one. Why don't you stand right up here?
I'm thankful that we found a cat, a little cat. It was lost. We didn't know what to do with it or what anything else to do with it. So we took it inside our friend's house and then gave it some food.
So Elena, you found a cat and a home for the cat? Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that.
While I'm up here, if I may, our friend that we were visiting that she mentioned, our house burnt down last year. And I am so thankful because many of us may at one time or another have said, God, how in the world am I supposed to tithe? I don't have enough resources. I don't have what I need. How am I supposed to give a tenth of this back? I can't make it. And I want to tell you, my dad taught me when I was maybe just a little bit bigger than her. I remember the very first time I paid tithe, that you always do no matter what. And whether it was after everything I had was stolen in Africa or no matter what, I always did. And when our house burnt down within a week, I kid you not, I had a single space typed list of all of the blessings we had received. We never lacked for anything. And the couple that she was referring to, we were visiting them. We were getting ready to lose the apartment we were staying in after the fire. And this lady came up to us and said, honey, are you still looking for a place to stay? I'm leaving Georgia to go to North Dakota for the winter. And I'm not sure how cold it's going to be here. I don't want my pipes to freeze. Would you care to stay in my house this winter? Whether it was clothes or food or just somebody sitting in my front yard watching the fire with me or housing or money for their tuition, God provided everything, single thing we needed. And I am thankful because His promise that He would open the windows if we were faithful has been met time and time again beyond what we could believe.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. It's amazing the situation that we find ourselves in. God is trying to actually overcome us. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to hear from Danny in a minute, but we're turning here first. Because God promises that when we heed His word, blessings will follow. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. The Bible there tells us, "And it shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." We just heard our sister testifying to God's command to pay a faithful tithe, and she was honoring that. And many of you could share other ways that you've been honoring the Lord. But the passage continues. Look at verse 2. It says, "And all these blessings shall what? Come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." It is possible, it's actually possible, that some of you are not being blessed right now because there's areas that God has commanded that you know you're not doing. I mean, it's a sobering thought. You're saying, well, I can't. Lord, once you do this, then I'll be faithful. No, it goes the other way. God calls us to be faithful and trust Him with the results. Danny, come up and share what's on your heart.
Happy Sabbath, church. Well, as you all know, or maybe some know, that I have battled multiple myeloma, which is a bone cancer. And I was diagnosed in 2012. and I've been through two stem cell transplants. I am cancer-free, as far as I know. Thank God for all the help from the church, Judy and Deb and all of them that are health food experts in my heart. But I praise God and God alone for everything. About a month or two ago, I started having stomach pain and I got a little weary and scared. So I decided to make an appointment with the doctor, and he says, well, let me get you to an endocrinologist to do an endoscopy, is what I meant to say. I was afraid. I thought, oh boy, because my brother was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's and he had a lot of stomach pain. And I said, oh boy, this has got to be genetic. Well, through all the fear, lo and behold, God was there. He sent me to this endocrinologist, and I was afraid. I even asked Dr. DeRose, should I do it? And he says, yeah, you should do it. So I did go, and thank God it was just a small ulcer. So just wanted to praise God and give him all the thanks and glory and honor for all the good news I've gotten. And I'm so thankful for the church, the pastor, and everyone here. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny. She was not given a very good prognosis. She had a brain tumor. And she became my patient. She was telling me the story. Pastor's wife. You know, these things aren't supposed to happen if you're following God, right? No, they happen to everybody. And as she was praying about this serious problem, she said the Lord impressed her that she was going to be healed. But it was an interesting impression. She said, I was impressed that the Lord was going to heal me completely at the first resurrection. But I didn't know what he was going to do in this life. But she trusted him. And it happened that when she went back in for the surgery and they re-imaged her, she had been anointed, there was no tumor there. But she said, you know what? Even though we praise the Lord for that, we all have the assurance of complete healing. He doesn't always do it that way. We don't always hear the testimonies like Danny's. And you hear that and you say, but my loved one has had the stem cell transplants and they're in hospice right now. Or my loved one died. You know, where was God then? So God is there and he sustains us. And he blesses us and uses us, and he gives us a testimony. Whether we're languishing in prison like John the Baptist, whether we've got a lingering illness like Elisha, some of these people we've studied lately, or whether we're praising God on the end of obvious blessings and ways he's delivered. But all of us have a testimony of how he's working. Who else has something they want to share up front? John, come on up.
Earlier this year, I got a call from a friend of mine. He said, my father's in the hospital. Would you go visit him? So I went and visited him. He also said to me, he doesn't think he's savable. So he wanted me to communicate to him that it was not too late, that he still could be saved. And so I tried to encourage him on his way, and that seemed to work, that seemed to help him. And then a few months later, another call from my friend. My father's back in the hospital. Would you go visit him? So I went and visited him again, and prayed with him, tried to encourage him on his way. Then a little later, I got another call from him, you know, about a month after that. Would you come and anoint him? He's doing really bad. So, Matt and I went and we anointed him. I offered him Bible studies at the time, and that didn't seem to be of interest. But a little while later, I got the message that now he wanted to do Bible studies. So, Martha and I went over and did Bible studies with him. These weren't the traditional evangelistic ones. These were studies that I put together that I think were more oriented towards the personal relationship with God. I tried to encourage him about faith and the promises of God, what God had done for him, what God would do for him, what God was doing for him. And but then the studies got terminated because he wasn't up to that. So Martha and I went over there and prayed with him when we could. Anyway, he didn't survive, but just a few days before he died, he said, "I'm going to be home with my Jesus."
Amen.
So, he may not have lived longer, but it looks like he will now live forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the Lord let me have a little part in that.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. One of the most powerful descriptions of this process of having the assurance of being right with Jesus that I've read anywhere just happened to be written by an author some of you have heard of by the name of E.G. White. It comes from a little book called Faith and Works, and it begins on page 105. And it begins with the quotation of a verse that is perhaps the most beloved verse in all of Christianity, and it really is the gospel in that verse. You could likely recite it from memory, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the author makes this point. This message is for the world, for whosoever means that any and all who comply with the condition may share the blessing. It's very carefully worded. Did you catch it? Any and all who comply with the condition. There is one condition in that verse. What is it? That's right, to believe, to accept by faith, to trust. The author puts it this way: all who look unto Jesus, believing in him as their personal Savior, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Every provision has been made that we may have the everlasting reward. You can read this whole article. It's amazing because it makes it very practical, and I think sometimes we have not made it practical enough. But let me just read a few more sentences from this book, Faith and Works, now page 107. It's the same article. By the way, if you're wondering the title of the article, it's Accepted in Christ. Accepted in Christ. So page 107 now I'm reading from, and it says there, "We have a living Savior. He's not in Joseph's new tomb. He is risen from the dead and has ascended on high as a substitute and surety for every believing soul." Then Romans 5 verse 1 is quoted, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The sinner is justified. The sinner is made right through the merits of Jesus. And this is God's acknowledgement of the perfection of the ransom paid for man. That Christ was obedient even unto death of the cross is a pledge of the repenting sinner's acceptance with the Father. So let me just step back here. We were in Sabbath school today talking about a challenge, or at least referring to this, and we talked a little bit about the first service. Some of us have a challenge when it comes time to testify for the Lord. You say, well, listen, if I was Danny, I'd be up there too. If I had a terminal diagnosis or a cancer diagnosis and I was healed, I would praise the Lord too. But what has God done for me? Here's the deal. You say, the demoniac in the Bible, sure, Jesus could say, go and tell, because everyone knew he was possessed with a devil. The blind person who Jesus healed, everyone knew he was blind from birth, okay? And he had a testimony. But what about me? I haven't had any physical problems, you say. I just came to Jesus as my Savior. Here's the point. You might be wondering what evidence there is that your salvation is genuine, okay? What it's telling us here is the evidence that your salvation is genuine is that Jesus died for our sins, he was resurrected, and he's accepted by the Father. Your assurance is based on what Jesus accomplished. Do you see this? It's as real as a blind man seeing. Let me not stop there. Then shall we permit ourselves to have a vacillating experience of doubting and believing, believing and doubting. Have you been there? I've been there. I'm just telling you, even as a pastor. Okay? You wonder, are you good enough? That's not what it's about. Jesus is the pledge of our acceptance with God. We stand in favor before God not because of any merit in ourselves, but because of our faith in the Lord, our righteousness. So when you look in the mirror and you say, well, I don't measure up. Well, that's why Jesus died. Jesus came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. We could all say it, right? And so we have a living Savior. So you have a testimony. Because Jesus died for you. And even if you don't always feel that you were worth saving, God felt you were. Who else has something they want to share, whether it's on a spiritual level, a physical level? Come on up, Paul. Come on.
When I was younger, naturally, as my brother just told you, that there were a lot of things in my life. But I wanted to point out what I'm really thankful for. When we were younger, we were told, don't associate and get married to people that are Catholics, etc. Well, my wife was a Catholic, and I did this just out of my own feelings. I was more or less that way. But Patty went through a lot of trouble with me back in my early marriage. And as time went on, she kept with me and kept helping me. And I will tell you that I cannot thank her enough for what she has done for me. I know that Christ is the one that did it. But, you know, you've got to have somebody else that has a closer relationship with you on a daily basis sometimes. And my wife was there. She has done a miraculous job of raising our family. She has, Paul, which is my son-in-law, came up to me the other day, and I don't think he's here. If he is, I don't see him anyway. He says, I love you. You know, isn't that a beautiful thing, really? There's so many of us that are so busy in our lives, we don't pay attention to what other people are going through or how other people react. But I'll tell you that I appreciate that comment from Paul so much. Brian is the same way. He's just a wonderful person. I have the best grandchildren in the world. And as you know, some of you just got Alexis. He's got married here a few weeks ago. So I wanted just to share with the church, you are also responsible for the people that come into this church. When a new person steps in that door, make him feel wonderfully accepted. If you never met him before, it doesn't make any difference. You are Christ's person upon this earth, doing the things that you need to do. I have a habit, and as you all know, is I love kids. I really do. And the little boy that was the sister of that one little girl that came up here. I can't remember her name. And he made me a little origami, is that how you pronounce it? And I said, yeah, that's for you. I'll never forget that little boy. And I hope that little boy never forgets me. Because that's what makes us so special to each other. We are a small group of people in a multitude of this world. And what we need to do is to realize this small multitude can expand to a great amount if we just give ourselves to helping other people see what Christ is like. And I had a lady the other night, and she says, are you a Christian? And I said, well, I hope it shows. And she said, well, you're so sweet and helpful to people. And I said, oh, really? And Bob was talking to him, he said, does Patty know that? And I said, well, I don't know. But he said, well, you got to be careful. I said, well, anyway, I just want to tell you that we are so thankful for this church. The church means a lot to my family, and we're happy that we have a pastor that cares enough about us that is willing to come up here and let us share our testimony. Thank you, Dr. Rose.
Okay. Well, thank you for saying you appreciate your pastor before what I'm about to say next, okay? Some of you know I'm also a writer, and in writing there are certain rules. Did you know that? Do any of you remember English? There are certain rules. And I'm not a good enough writer yet that I could break all the rules and people would say, look at the new style that Dr. DeRose has just rolled out, okay? But it's interesting. There are rules and there are exceptions to the rules. And when it calls for an exception, you want to follow the exception. Now, since this was alluded to, I think I should mention it, especially for the benefit of the single individuals in the room, okay? This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, having just spent time with the only single member of my family, which is my youngest son. We've been trying to let him know that God does have principles like found in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So here's the general principle or the rule. If you're single and praying about who to marry, who to unite your life with, you should look for someone who is yoked in the faith. You share a common faith, okay? Now, having said that, I know there are some of you in the room who are married to people of other faiths, and praise the Lord that you are. And they're always welcome here, okay? We're not calling you to do anything different. If you're in a relationship, you stay in the relationship, okay? And God wants to bless you, just like he blessed Paul and his family. But it doesn't mean just because something worked out, God blessed something, that the rule is still not true. Now, if you're an exception, just be very careful. The Holy Spirit is calling you to be the exception. By the way, there was someone famous in the Bible. You can check it out. I didn't have time to check it out up front here because we're being spontaneous. But my recollection is that Solomon's first foreign wife was the daughter of Pharaoh. And as I recall, it seemed to turn out okay. And after that, it seemed like a good precedent was set. And so Solomon continued to marry the wives of other foreign leaders until the Bible said it led him away from the Lord. Okay? So just because something God overruled and worked to bless a number of people in this church, I know you're married to wonderful people. They may not be Seventh-day Adventists. They may even be Catholics, like Paul mentioned. We're glad you're here today. And if you're married to a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Baptist, we're just glad that they're all welcome here, okay? But for those of you who aren't married, the ideal, unless God calls you somewhere, some other direction, is to marry someone of your faith. Okay? So, Paul, thanks for endorsing the pastor before that. And if we hear no more glowing reports, we'll understand. Okay? Our time is just about out, but I realized a dynamic when we're sharing. Someone wanted to be the last person to share. And we might have room to squeeze a few more in. Does anyone feel like if they leave, they just had something on their heart that they're going to feel, they won't be able to sleep because they didn't come up front and share? Come on up, Sister French. By the way, she's in very good company. I don't know if you know this, but I've spoken a number of occasions where Sean Boonstra has been there, and Sean says he never preaches in his shoes. So thank you for coming up. And in fact, in some traditions, that is considered very holy. Okay? So thank you for setting a good example. By the way, you're welcome here, shoes, without shoes. If you want to be like Pastor Boonstra, Sister French, that's fine. If you want to be like me, follow their example. It's probably more comfortable, right?
Definitely.
Okay. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Okay.
Oh, boy. Happy Sabbath, my family. You know, I just had to get up. You know, when you're so overcome by the goodness of God and you see the evidence of His grace in your life, you just can't keep silent. And I just want to share with you guys how marvelous God has been working in my family. I'll take a few minutes to share a few things, but just before, I don't want to forget my family that is visiting with me this morning. They've been with me since Thanksgiving, and they didn't have to, Pastor. My cousins from Oakwood are here, Diana and Chetta. I am so blessed. That's why my heart is fluttering. I was just so overcome. And my niece, Randy, and my adopted niece, Casey. So I'm so grateful that you guys came up and spending time with me, and we've been having a blast and just been, when you're alone in the sense that you don't have your blood connection, it can be overwhelming. And so for them to make the journey up, which they didn't have to, that's what kills me, you know. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you, guys. You know how much I love you. But 2 weeks ago, my niece, one of my nieces in Jamaica, got a new job working at a bank. And she should have been in her training phase of her employment, but apparently they were short staff and they put her on the line. The first day, her being on her own, met up with her supervisor at the end of the day to tally her drawer, and she came up $100,000 short. And so her boss reminded her that she was still on probation and that they will need to find this money. So she went home. The following day, her mom, which was my sister, was graduating. And so my sister said she woke up that morning and she knelt down and she prayed and she said, God, I really want to enjoy my graduation. So you need to help us find that $100,000. So she got dressed and went off to her graduation. My niece, later on in the evening, we're finding out the long and short of the story, is that morning when she woke up, she took her two-year-old daughter and said, Zoe, we need to pray. 2 years old. She said, Mommy needs to find $100,000. So they knelt down and prayed. So she got ready and left for work, dropped off Zoe at the sitter. My sister went off to our Adventist University for her graduation. And my sister reported later on that 2 minutes before she walked in, as they were lined up, she got this text, found it. So the story is, when the baby got to her sitter, two-year-old, walked in the door, and it was announced, we have to pray. The sitter said she didn't fully understand exactly what she said, but the baby gathered all of them, and they were all in prayer. So when we think that babies, two-year-old, 2 years old, So my sister thought it was her prayer that got answered. She said, no, it's the baby's prayer. And how it came to be, she found out she had switched her station at one point, being busy, and apparently someone needed to get $100,000, and she gave it to the person twice. So when they narrowed it down, they found the possibility, who this could be. Who could she have given it this to? And they found a number, called the person, didn't answer, but they found a contact for that person, a secondary number, and called, and the person relayed the information. And the gentleman showed back up to the bank with $100,000. So,
amen.
I'm here to tell you guys, there is absolutely nothing that is impossible with God. And if you see why I couldn't sit silent, because my niece needed that job.
Yeah.
She just needed it. And the next, that day afterwards, the boss says, your probation is going to be lifted just as we had promised, because you're a good worker, you're a God-fearing woman, and we need you. And so I am so thankful. And there's so many other blessings that God has poured up in my life that time will not allow us. But I want to encourage each one of us who are going through hardship, regardless of what it is, don't be ashamed or bashful to go to your God in prayer, and He will hear you. One more thing I want to say, for us to wish the Chatters happy anniversary. Today is their anniversary, 33 years for Diane and Duane.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Amen. Okay, I was going to say, barring any objections, that sounds like a good testimony to close with, but we have an objection. So this brother's going to come up here, and while he's making his way up, we do have needs, and some of those needs in our community are miraculously provided by prayer. But I want to remind you of something that Matt mentioned. One of our church members right now has found himself homeless. If you've been praying about a practical way of ministry and you have an extra room, let Matt or me know, and we can help you vet this person if you want to do that before offering them a place. But have we officially met? I have not met anyone in such beautiful regalia.
No.
Tell us your name.
Apisabas. I'm an elder in Houston International Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we have more than 35 nationalities in my church in Houston. So, yes. When you come to Texas, just visit us. Amen? Yes, I thank God for being here this morning. We come to visit our children here. On our way to this place on Wednesday, you know, there was turbulence for more than 40 minutes. The plane was just jumping like this, as if you were in the potholes on the road. The wind was just too much. The only thing I could say was just to pray, God, Master, you are in control of ocean, land, and sea. Master, the tempest is raging. You calm the troubled sea. Come and calm this thing. He took control. We landed safely. And we're able to see our children in peace. So we don't take it for granted. When God gives you a blessing, don't hide it to yourself. So I prayed for it, and God answered our prayer. And I have to testify before the children of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing some of that good Texas hospitality, too. Not that we had a shortage of good Fort Wayne hospitality. Don't let anyone misunderstand. If you want to memorize the Bible in 2020, one of our church members took me up on this assignment. They wanted to start a Bible memorization program. Here's our closing verse. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Some of you feel you've got weak memories. You think memorization is no longer an option, but I think you can do it. I think you can put away at least one verse in 2020. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. If you've got the King James, it says, rejoice evermore. New King James, rejoice always. That's the verse. How many of you think you've got a strong enough memory? Okay. But now, the challenge is not just memorize it, but what? Do it. Do it. Rejoice evermore. If you've got a head of steam and you really want to memorize several verses, include verse 17. Pray how often? Without ceasing. And then for the advanced students, they can put away verse 18 as well. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you for raising your voices in prayer. For those of you who didn't come up front, I'm glad you didn't. Okay? We didn't have time for any more. So don't feel guilty. But I'm glad that we can all have a closing song together that's a song of praise. What do you think about that? And so you can say, if someone says, well, did you testify in church? Said, yes, I sang the hymns. Those are ways of praising. Let's do that together as we close. next Sabbath, if moving doesn't call you away to California, like it will me, is that really true? Am I gone again next Sabbath? Boy, I can't keep track of my own schedule. Is anyone doing that for me? Am I gone, really, next Sabbath? I'm trying to figure out when I'm leaving, then. Must be Friday, I guess. But if you're here on Sabbath, you don't want to miss the special program. I was there at the church school, and I mentioned this before, but I was just so thrilled to see the children not singing, how do I say it? Kindergarten songs in unison, but they're actually tackling the many of the selections from the Messiah, and you'll be blessed to hear our church school students next Sabbath. So I'm going to miss out. Maybe I'll find a way to sneak and watch online. But you're all invited next Sabbath, and may God leave you rejoicing, not just next week, but hopefully you walk out today realizing that if you came in sad and you're feeling more depressed, you know what the prescription is. It's what? Rejoice always. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, sometimes it seems cruel to tell us to rejoice because this world is full of pain and sickness and suffering. And loved ones leave us by death, by choice. We can sometimes feel so alone, even in a group of people. Father, help each person here realize that they're part of your family, that you've chosen them. No matter what Satan is telling them today, you have a special place in your heart. You're just asking them to trust you, that they don't have to look at how good they are as Christians. That has all been settled by you. You've lived a perfect life for us. And Father, sometimes that's so hard for us to embrace. Help us leave, though, rejoicing that we have a living Savior, rejoicing that we have a sure home in heaven, and rejoicing that you've given us the privilege to share that love with other people. If we haven't done it already today, help us do it before we leave. Just a smile, a shake of a hand. Someone needs it here, and they need it back home and in our neighborhoods. Help us go forth as your agents to spread joy and rejoicing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.